school bus. Amen. Yes, we are. And so for growth, you got to start planning for growth. Amen. You got to be prepared for growth. Amen. What a better way to further the kingdom of God. Amen. Get these youth up there, get them fired up for God. Amen. Watch the power of God just move them. Amen. That's good. In this whole area, this whole tri-state area, amen, 77 kids. And I love it that it's not just our church, but every church around here. Amen. See, if we all believe that God is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, we all go in the same place. Yeah. Regardless if they say Four Square Church or Full Baptist or whatever it is. Amen. I say regardless. Amen. Amen. We're all in this together. Why should Christians fight against Christians? That just makes absolutely no sense at all. Why should one church talk about another church when we're all trying to get sinners saved and we're too focused on fighting each other instead of trying to get people saved? And then one day we got to stand before God and then he goes, well, y'all spent so much time fighting each other, y'all didn't get anybody saved. That's a whole nother message on itself. Amen. We're not talking about that. We could. Amen. I think we're talking a little bit about your reactions determine your outcome, or your reactions determine your answer. Amen. Turn over to Genesis 39, please. While y'all are turning, I'm going to pray. Father God, we love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And I thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to gather around your word with like believers. I thank you, Father God, for another opportunity to feed our faith on your word. I thank you, Holy Ghost, sir. We just ask you to unveil and reveal truths to us this evening from your word. And make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truth. Truths from your word this evening that not only myself have seen so far. Just make the words jump out on the page to us, Father God. And not only that, but allow me to say things that I didn't even plan on saying. And I thank you, Father God, that we will continue to meditate on it and we won't throw it to the side, but we'll cherish it and we will keep it and we won't allow Satan to steal it. And we thank you for it and praise you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said, amen. Amen. Genesis 39, we'll start about verse 1. It says, and Joseph was brought, I'll read this out of the King James.
Okay.
Thank you. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Say, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was poor. Yeah, he was. What was he? Why was he prosperous? Is the Lord with you?
Yes.
Well, that should settle it. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master, Saul. So obviously, he didn't sound like everybody else. He wasn't complaining that he had to do something like everybody else. Wait, you telling me you want me to clean? You want me to sweep this over here, boss, and you want me to refill the coffee? But that's not my job, though. Didn't know he was going to get started that early. Amen. 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 And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to fail. What did he do? Amen. Next, please. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer over his house. Who'd he make an overseer? So you have to be a pretty honorable person to be an overseer of a Pharaoh's house. Right? Okay. And he made him an overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. All that he had. And this is a king. And this is a servant. This is a servant that was bought. A slave, not even a servant, a slave. And so now you're telling me that he's in charge of all this gold and money and all these other servants and everything that's the best he's in charge of? Amen. Next, please. And it came to pass, we need to hurry because we're on verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him an overseer in his house and all, over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Did you know that wherever you're at, you know that's why they're prospering where you're at? That's why people regret firing you or letting you go. They should, anyways. And the blessing of the Lord was upon Ricky and Chelsea and Spirit Life Church and all that he had in the house and in the field. Amen. Amen. Next, please. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. Yes, thank you, King James. Hallelujah. Save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a godly person. He was what? Goodly, whatever. Sorry. Yes, godly, goodly, same difference. And Joseph was a goodly person. Was a what? So he wasn't the one at work, like walking around like this. What do you want? You don't see I'm working? What do you need? Hurry up. Let's hurry. Come on. Do your job. What are you sitting around for? Hurry up. What? You need something again? Yeah, amen. Amen. And well favored. That means everybody liked him. You mean everybody liked him? Everybody liked him. Everybody like you at your job? Somebody's like, I ain't answering. Ain't answering. Amen. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, what? Yep. Next. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and... Look at that. He didn't say sin against your husband. Who did he say sin against? Why did he say that? Number one, he is representing God. Not only that, who put that blessing? Saying, how can I sin against the person that's placed this blessing on my life, that's put me in this position? How can I defile him and do this ungodly thing against him? I love that he said, how can I sin against God? Nothing about her husband. How can I sin against your husband? You know, how can I do this against you? No, how can I sin against God? God, the person that placed me here, that blessed me, the person that's prospered me, the person that blesses everything that I touch. Amen. Next, please. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. I found it interesting that he never told on her either. He probably didn't want to be dishonorable. Dishonorable to him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Amen. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me." And I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid upon his garment, up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up the voice and I cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, when she spake unto him, saying, 'After this manner did thy servant to me,' that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Go back, please. Back one more. Well, if you just keep reading for time's sake, okay, because it's already 7:50. So she lied. We all get that. He throws him in prison, right? Next verse. And then he because the Lord showed him mercy, put his favor in, and now he became the keeper of the prison, right? But you didn't hear him one time talk about her. One time, but yet he's being thrown in prison falsely. He could have been like, "This lying heifer is accusing me of something I ain't did." For reals. How many of y'all would have been mad? For reals. Going to jail over something you really know you didn't do. Or you get pulled over by the cops. No, good and well, you ain't speeding. No, good and well, you're not speeding. Or you got on your seatbelt and they're trying to write you a ticket. "This ain't mine. I ain't signing jack." Right? But I found it amazing that he really didn't mouth her. He didn't bad mouth anybody. He kept his mouth shut. You want to know why? Because whenever the blessing of the Lord is on you, it doesn't matter what happens, what somebody tries to do to you, regardless of what they're trying to do, the blessing of God is on your life. And so the situation is automatically going to have to turn itself all the way back around for you. Because who gets thrown in prison first off, and now you're in charge of the prison? Who in their right mind has this ever happened to? Anybody know anybody in jail? I know somebody in jail. They did not get put in charge of the jail as soon as they went to jail. He didn't badmouth his brothers either. Did he? Something about walking in love. Something about just keeping your mouth shut, walking in love, and just letting other people talk. And you just continue to walk in love, though, and let them say what they need to say. But you just stay there like this. You remember the story about Brother Hagin whenever he went back home after his, his mom passed away. He went back home, and they were going through his mom's stuff, and one of his aunts came up and just started just talking to him, just I'm talking about up and down, wide open, just going at it. And he said, I just stood there and looked at her, didn't say a word, just looked at her with love. And he said, all of a sudden, her whole countenance changed, and she just said, you know what, just please help me, Brother Hagin. Pray for me, please. But if he'd have just said, shut up talking to me like that. Who do you think you are? First off, this is my mom. I don't care if that was your sister. You ain't got no right here. But love doesn't care what the other person's saying. I know it's hard to think about. I know it's a little rough sometimes because sometimes you want to educate them. Yeah. Let's be honest. The flesh always wants to educate people. And that's why Paul tells them, I put under. And it's funny that Paul had to write to a bunch of Christians and tell them that in Ephesians. I put under. That's over in Corinthians, I believe. But in Ephesians, though, he tells them, he's like, look, y'all going to have to crucify y'all's flesh. Y'all going to have to put it under. You can't just let your flesh do what your flesh wants to do all the time. Because it's going to get you in trouble. You know, the whole, you spit on me, I'll spit on you. You talk about me, I'll talk about you. It's going to end up getting you in trouble. Especially if you're at work. Amen. I know quite a few people that's got fired because they allowed their mouth just to run wide open. Amen. Because they allowed their mouth to do what they just allowed their mouth to do what they wanted their mouth to do. Yeah. Well, I can't help it. I'm Irish. No, you can. Yeah. You just chose not to. Yeah. Yes. Amen. 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 Okay. Moving along. Go over to Psalms, please. Psalms 3, please. Bring that up in the Passion. Please, sir. Verse 1. Lord, I have so many enemies, so many who are against me. Listen to how they whisper their slander against me, saying, look, he's hopeless. Even God can't save him from this. Pause in his presence. But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my what?
Shield.
You take me and what?
Surround me yourself.
Your glory covers me continually. You lift high my head when I bow low in shame. I have cried out to you, Yahweh, from your holy presence. You send me a father's help. Pause in his presence. So now I'll lie down and sleep like a baby. Then I'll awake in safety. For you surround me with your glory. Even though dark powers prowl around me, I won't be afraid. I simply cry out to you, rise up and help me, Lord. Come and save me, and you will slap them in the face, breaking the power of their words to harm me. My true hero comes to my rescue, for the Lord alone is my Savior. Amen. What a feast of favor and bliss he gives his people. Amen. Pause in his presence. Amen. I'm going to read just a couple real fast. At Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord in the King James, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth what?
All
thy diseases?
Yes.
Okay. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction?
Yes.
Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Amen. Execute his righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Amen. And then Psalms 106, it says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Psalms 108, it says, O God, my heart is fixed. 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 What does fixed mean? That means you just zoned in on it and nothing can take your attention off of it. Regardless of what's going on the exterior, fixed is focused. It can't be moved from this spot. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, Paul Street, however you say it, in harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Amen. Turn over to Acts real fast, please. I wanted to just read those to y'all. For there's a reason here in a minute, I'll tell you, once we get there. Acts 4. Acts 4 about verse 24. Actually, look at verse 1. Do King James, please. Verse 1, it says, and as they spake unto the people and the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Right? So they just snatched them up, correct?
Yep.
Look over at verse 24 real fast, please. Verse 23. It says, and being let go. Where did they go?
In their own company.
All right. So, and being let go, They went to the neighbor's house. Where'd they go? Amen. So being let go, where did they go? All right. So being let go, where did they go? What's their own company? Say that again, Stephanie. Amen. Believers, like-minded people. Like a church family. Right? Went in their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said unto them. Right? Yes. And when they heard all that, they lifted up their voice and started complaining about what had happened to them. And then cried for a little bit. And then they said, I can't believe it. You know, I don't know why God forsook us. I can't believe it happened to us, you know, because God, I thought God called us here. I thought God asked us to do this. I can't believe all this is going on. They really hit you like that? I can't believe that. Are you all right? You need a medic? You know, come here and we'll, you know, let's go into my house. We'll hold you for a little bit. Go relax. Go take a vacation. Amen. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with what? What does that mean? Yeah. And said, Lord. Okay, so I want y'all to pay attention for a few verses, all right? Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Next, please. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever they had thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So they, first off, they went four verses before they even, they just talked about how God, big God was, first off, before they even got to what they was wanting to ask God. So first off, they just praised God for a little bit and just let him know, God, this is, you are big God. For you are good, your mercy endureth forever. I magnify your holy name. I remember whenever I broke my leg and you prayed for it and healed me immediately. I remember when we had those debts, we laid them on the table, spoke over them, and money came in miraculously. I remember whenever that symptom tried to come on my body and I spoke to it and it left immediately. I remember when all the kids were sick and we just went in the room, anointed their heads with oil, and each one of them just got cool underneath my hand. I remember when all the lights went out in the house because we didn't have the money to pay for it, and then immediately somebody showed up with food and with money to pay the electric bill. See, that's what they did for the first verses. They didn't start telling God immediately, look, God, look what happened now. See, too many times we just automatically go to God, look now, God. That's why I wanted to read just a couple, for lack of time, because it's already 8 now, just a couple of the Psalms. David was great at just going through and just praising God. And worship, that was just right on earlier. That was really teaching us how to just really magnify God for a little bit. And see, you get into a presence like that, and then you go before God, he can't help himself. Amen. He can't help himself. What do you need, son? What do you need? What do you need? Just ask, what do you need? But we just start going to God, hey, God, it's me again. Yeah, I know we ain't talked in a while, but man, rent's due again. I know I haven't said nothing since last month, but Rinse dupe. So it took them a little bit before they'd even get to telling God what they was coming to him to talk about. They just wanted to magnify him for a little bit first, let him know how big he was. Look, you start telling God how big and how miraculous and mighty he is, he can't help himself. You start just praising God, he can't help himself. He can't. Because God, what's the verse? I just had it and I lost it. The praises of his people. Inhabits the praises of his people. Thank you. God inhabits the praises of what? Are you his people? Amen. When's the last time you just really had a praising fit in the middle of your living room? Look, we ain't just got to do that here at church. You know that, right? Amen. Yes, sir. 29, 28. Where was we at? 29. Okay, 29. And now. And now. Now that we got done telling you how big you are. How mighty you are. How great you are. I love that they didn't just start complaining right off the bat. And we really need to pay attention to that. Because that's 4 or 5 verses down now. Before they even got to where they wanted to, before they got to where they even asked God. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants with what?
All boldness.
With all boldness. See, because they just got whipped for doing this. But grant unto us with all boldness that we'll still speak thy word. So we still going back out there. And thank you, God, for your boldness that we'll just still hit them another time. And I thank you, Father God, we won't be fazed by them trying to come at us again.
Amen.
Amen. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by thy name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, see, a lot of times we're wanting a shaking and we're wanting a miraculous, but how are we starting off it? How are we starting it off? We need to ask ourselves that. How are we starting it off? What are we really doing? When's the last time I just came before God, just magnified him? Just worshiped God for a while. You know, I'd even venture out to say, when's the last time I just worshiped God for 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah.
And didn't ask for one thing for myself, but just worshiped God, just magnified him. I'm telling you, you want to see a dramatic change in Bullhead? You want to see a dramatic change in your life? Because, see, when things like that start happening, he can't help himself. Not only that, that anointing will get in that glory. It'll just start getting stronger. And it'll just start enveloping you. Look at Peter. People are dragging people out into the street to get into his shadow. Not touching. Get to his shadow. Why? That anointing. You spend time around God, that anointing that's on. Look at Elijah. He's dead and gone. Somebody throws a dead person on him, on his bones. His bones. He's not there. His skin's not there. His bones are there. But yet the anointing was still whatever that word is, on his bone, in his bones. That it brought the dead person back to life. But boy, coming out like this, Jesus. Amen. Faith doesn't cry. Faith shouts. Amen. Amen. Faith doesn't cry. Faith shouts. Amen. Amen. It's already 8:15. We better stop. Amen. Well, Father God, we love, thank you, and praise you. We magnify your holy name, and we thank you, Father God. We will begin to praise and magnify you more. We'll just begin to spend time in your presence and just worship and magnify your name, Father God. And we thank